They compete hard on the field and play to win. But in real life, they serve a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field show with hosts Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. We are a week away from the Super Bowl. New England Patriots going for number six against your Philadelphia Eagles, fellas. Your Philadelphia
Eagles going for their
first ever Vince Lombardi trophy. It's a crazy time here in Philly, and I know you guys are loving it, so you can have a few minutes to revel in all the greatness that's the Philadelphia Eagles right now.
How awesome was that game?
Oh,
I mean, come on, everybody picked
it. It wasn't a game. It was 38-7.
First five minutes. I got nervous.
It was over by halftime. It was a party in the second half.
It was. And, you know, I think that just sent a message. And I think looking at those guys, they played together as a team. And, you know, how much more confidence do you need going into the Super Bowl than coming off a game like that and just feeling dominant? You know, taking over the number one defense in the NFL and just giving it to them, right?
So, how about Nick Foles? You know, going into the playoffs, I said the defense is going to win a game, and Nick Foles is going to win a game, and people nationally, because I did a ton of radio shows. Yesterday I was on in Portland, Edmonton, Alberta. Now suddenly they care about the NFL.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So I'm doing it, and they're like, wait, Nick Foles is going to win a game? I said, defense is going to win a game. Nick Foles is going to win a game. Defense won that first one.
Absolutely.
And Nick Foles, 352 yards passing. Unreal. You know what Nick Foles and Joe Montana have in common, guys?
No, but I need to know this.
The only two quarterbacks in playoff history in the NFL to have back-to-back games where they complete 75% of their passes.
Ooh. Didn't I just see that Nick Foles is the only person that has had over 100 quarterback rating in all three of his playoffs.
That's right. And he was perfect. Almost near the end of the game, he had a perfect QB rating.
And I do want to, you know, I thought Nick and the offense played fantastic. I want to give a shout out to Doug. Coach Peterson put together a phenomenal game plan.
Yes,
I think top to bottom in that. And the defense just showed up. After that first drive, I know that there were some.
They were a little late, but that was all right.
Yeah, I mean, look, they were a little late to the dance, but that's all right. When they showed up, they brought it. It was pretty impressive all the way around.
Nick Foles, the game that he had on the stage that he had, with all that pressure on him, with everybody watching and people expecting the Eagles. Obviously, they're underdogs at home, right?
Right.
Why? Because of Nick Foles. They're underdogs at home going in both times because of Nick. And for him to step up and play that game, and it was just a spectacular performance. I think one of the best quarterback performances under that kind of pressure in NFL postseason history.
Well, the thing I kept texting you guys too during the game, you know, he just looked so confident. Like, he just stepped up in the pocket. He was getting hit. He moved well. He got himself in position, and he wasn't afraid to throw it, and he put the ball on the money.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, Rob, what you said is absolutely true. When we go back and look at the totality of the situation that he had to rise in, you know, in front of his home crowd, missing his left tackle, missing his, you know, Hall of Fame running back in Darren Sproles, that little extra boost that we'd get, you know, let alone all the other pieces that obviously have been so talked about, but just that Vitae stepping up,
huge.
Can you say his first name, or is it Big V? Right?
No, it's Big V.
Halapuli Vati Vitae.
That's pretty good. Right? That's pretty good.
As close as I'm going to get.
Yo, V, what's up? That's what I'm saying. But I thought the line all the way. Wiz played a phenomenal game at left guard. I just thought all the way around.
Lane Johnson
played fantastic. So, you know, I know. Before the game was over, the Eagles were 5.5 point underdogs. After watching, which is amazing to me, watching the Patriots play against a team that they were supposed to blow out. All the experts saying they were supposed to blow out.
I had it 30-13. You know who had a close game?
Who's that?
One of our guests a couple of weeks ago, former NFL quarterback Dan Orlovsky. I had him on the AP podcast. He said, Tom Coughlin's got the blueprint to beat the Patriots.
No, it's true.
He said, it's going to be close.
I totally forgot Coughlin was in the front office of the Jaguars. I forgot, yeah.
Yep. Do you make that phone call to Tom? The Eagles made that phone call and interviewed him before they hired Doug Peterson. Hey, Tom, well, what is that blueprint for beating the Patriots?
He might just give it to you.
I offer him a car, my beach house for the summer. What does he need? Yeah.
So many NFL players want the Eagles to win. I saw Roman Harper from the Saints put out there, blow them out, Eagles. And a lot of people want to see the Eagles go there and beat the Patriots. And we'll break down the game on on our episode next week, right before Super Bowl Sunday. But we're going to follow up our Man Up episode from last. Well, how good was Man Up? We had that. People were just blown it, loving that.
Everybody needs the Man Up. That's what it comes down to. Right?
Hey, if you want to figure out what it takes to be a real man, go back and check out our episode from last week, Man Up, and we really broke it down for you. And all three of us here are still striving to make sure that we can man up every day in
Absolutely.
Our lives. Because I put it out there, and I wanted to make sure, like, this isn't what I do. This is what I want to do. This is what I strive to do, and this is what I
that's
feel.
That's your blueprint for success, right there. That's the blueprint.
That is
right?
the blueprint. But following up on our Man Up episode, we're going to start a 3-week courage series featuring three players from the NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles. Our program sponsor, Eastern University, has adopted the slogan Courage 2 on campus, and that began this year, Doug?
Yeah, it did.
Mm-hmm. And so we're gonna kick it off with this week with Eagles Pro Bowl tight end Zach Ertz. And the theme for us this week is going to be courage to be bold. So we're going to talk about courage to be bold. We're going to have Torrey Smith on next week, and then Stephen Means is going to be on, and we'll have different courage themes to accompany those interviews. But this is going to be courage to be bold with Zach Ertz, and we'll hear from Zach coming up next segment. But being bold is it's the way God wants us to proclaim the gospel. But it doesn't come easy for many Christians for so many reasons, variety of reasons. There's pressure in today's world not to talk about religion. You hear it all the time. Oh, don't talk about politics. Don't talk about religion. But people aren't doing a good job of not talking about politics. A lot of people are doing yes. a good job not talking about yep. religion. But politics is all over the place, all over social media. And more, our society's becoming godless. But believers we're not called to be quiet. We're not called to worship alone, to keep our mouths shut and go about our business without talking about our faith. And my go-to verse, whenever I try and encourage people, whenever I try and encourage Christians to have the courage to be bold, is Matthew 5:13. And Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:13, and he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor?" Yeah. It should be thrown out. Yep. We are the salt. We are the believers, the Christians. We are that salt. And we're meant to season people around us with the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're useless to the kingdom of heaven if we lose our flavor, if we lose that saltiness. We're useless to the kingdom if we don't share the gospel. And I'm not saying that every Christian has to preach or host a radio show or use a big platform to tell the world about Jesus, but each of us can be that salt of the earth in our own little way by seasoning the people around us, seasoning the people we know, whether it's a friend, a neighbor, a relative, just by telling them what God has done in our life. And everyone has a platform. Some bigger than others, some far greater than others, but it's on us, every one of us. It's our responsibility to use whatever platform that God has given us to share Jesus Christ by having the courage to be bold.
That's awesome. And Zach's testimony is going to be phenomenal as he gets on. And, you know, we really think about being bold and the salt of the earth, Rob. That's a great thing you talk about. Something that Kyle and I were discussing earlier today was where your identity is. And sometimes you fall into accepting an identity where you're at because you feel like that's going to please other people or because you're comfortable in a certain situation. But sometimes you have to have the courage to be bold and have an identity in Christ, even if it's the unpopular choice. And I think that that's what it really comes down to, is the people you surround yourself, the community that you surround yourself with. How do you get encouraged or how do you get brought down by that? But in order not to lose your saltiness, right? Sometimes it's just making that choice to go with the right decision. Courage to be bold, to make that decision, impact somebody else's life, even when it's not comfortable. And most of the time, Kyle, you could speak into this a little bit, is most of the time it's not going to be comfortable and it's not going to be the easy thing to do.
Yeah, we talk about all the time. Conviction is never convenient. Sacrifice is never convenient. And so obedience is very rarely convenient. And I think when we're, what you were just talking about, too, Doug, is that, you know, in the very beginning when Josh was getting ready to go into the promised land in Joshua 1, God begins to speak to him and say, "Joshua, be strong and courageous." Why? Because I'm here. I'm with you. Be strong and courageous. This is who I made you to be. Meditate on my word day and night. Don't let it depart from your mind. Don't let it depart from your heart. Don't forget about it. Put it in your life. Why? Because that shapes your identity. We've got to remember that that Joshua was one of the spies that went in 40 years before this. He saw the promises of God, but then he lived in a culture of fear for 40 years. Everyone else around him was living in a culture of fear. And, you know, so he can relate to you and I. We may have experienced the things of God. We may experience the promises of God at certain times in our life. But because we live in a culture of fear, so often we have to be reminded, Joshua, listen, be strong and courageous. How do I become courageous? What does the word say? What does the word say? What does the word? Who are you? Who did I create you to be? Who am I in your life? Am I not going with you? And I think so often fear is a silencer. You know, fear, you know, we're scared silent.
Scared to put yourself out there. Scared to be different than the norm. Scared to have the spotlight on you. Scared to have the scrutiny on you. And we see a lot of athletes who have that courage to be bold. And we interview them for this show. And I've written books on them, Baseball Faith and Football Faith, which are available on Amazon.
Is it Nick Foles in Football Faith?
Nick Foles is absolutely in Football Faith. And you could definitely get that on Amazon still. It's 4 or 5 years out now. And a cheap plug for my books.
You don't do that enough, Rob. You don't do that enough. Absolutely.
These are guys, though, who have been blessed with incredible talent. And they're put in a unique position where they can impact a lot of people by sharing their faith. And it's an awesome thing when they can recognize that and they do it. But guys, I want to have this conversation with you because I struggle sometimes with people applauding these celebrities for sharing their faith, because there are so many people who aren't famous, who don't have that spotlight on them, who risk their lives to share the gospel in countries where being a Christian gets you killed. My wife, Remy, moved here from Egypt when she was 16 years old, and Christians there risk being killed in churches, being killed in church bombings. So I look at that, and while I truly appreciate athletes speaking out and sharing their faith, especially on this show and in my books, I also feel... Sometimes I feel like, well, that's the least they can do. And I have a hard time myself accepting praise for being so bold, because I get it so often from people, man, you've really put yourself out there. You really stand up for Christ. You do a lot of that. And I feel like, well, that's my duty. I thank you for the praise. I appreciate the compliment, but I'm supposed to do that. You know, I don't need praise for doing it. You should do it as well. Like I feel, as Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, I'm someone in a position where being a bold Christian has cost me money, but I want to be that salt. And I feel that is my duty. It's my responsibility. So I don't care about the money that it has cost me. I care about sharing the good news and impacting lives and trying to increase the kingdom. So it for me, sometimes it's a struggle because I hear, and we see it all throughout this past NFL season with so many Eagles players stepping out there, sharing their faith. And then people recognize guys from this show, whether it's Jason Witten, who we had on last week, or guys that we had on earlier, Adam Wainwright, and all these different players, and they go, oh, wow, that's really cool. And I truly am appreciative of it, but at the same time, I struggle and grapple with, well, that's the least we can do.
Yeah, but you know, people are only allowed to do with what circumstances they've been given, right? So it's kind of unfair to turn around and say, hey, you know what, we have it a lot easier here, so therefore maybe it's not as big of a deal. Compared to other countries where they're absolutely persecuted, right?
Literally.
So, but we can't control that. So that doesn't make them better Christians. It doesn't make us worse Christians or believers at that point, right? So we're only able to take it day by day. What's God given us for today? How are we handling that, right? So really, how are you handling just today? And it doesn't have to be the whole big picture of what you've done in the past or potentially what you want to do in the future, but what are you doing today to be bold? How are you sharing your faith today and impacting people's lives?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Rob, I get to travel all over the world, and we have foundations that work with refugee camps and with refugees from Syria and Iraq and Jordan, everything else. So we get to see those people straight up live in person. And so there's story after story of that. I think the one thing that I would say, I love what Carson said when we were at the Eastern event. He said, what do you mean if I love somebody? I talk about them.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where it's not out of duty. It's not out of responsibility, although I think those things are there as well.
Right.
But it's actually out of passion. Mm-hmm. The one thing I would say is this. I think if we stop praising somebody here for sharing their faith, it won't make Americans any more aware of those overseas who are sharing their faith.
Right.
And I think that's all we do is hurt ourselves when we don't actually really come behind and support those, exhort, encourage those who are doing it. I'm with you. We shouldn't worship them because, Rob, you and I have talked about that a lot. That sense of celebrity worship.
Right.
And our culture is really bad with that.
Horrible.
However, the Bible tells us we need to exhort one another. We need to encourage each other, mm-hmm. especially as we see the day approaching, the day of God approaching. So I don't want to marginalize those who are sharing the word here because it won't do what we hope it will do. We actually just need to, as Christians, expand our experience outside of America, outside of our small world, outside of our little,
comfortable zone.
Yeah, geocentric kind of world that we live in, and begin to see a bigger world where, 3 billion people live on less than $2 a day, where 28 million people are still in slavery in the world today, when we think slavery's over because it doesn't happen in our country, and yet it's running rampant, where children are being sold left and right for the pleasures of...
Human trafficking.
Yeah, I mean, so when we look at those things, and I'm with you, I mean, I've been in Egypt. I have friends whose churches have been blown up. I've had friends in the Middle East that have been killed for sharing their faith. When I go, we know that we're followed all the time by people who, by police and secret agents all the time in those countries. But that doesn't. And I love kind of again what Carson said about Haiti. If I can be bold enough to share in Haiti, I better be bold enough to share. In my locker room.
Yeah.
So it's not saying, hey, go on a mission trip so you can share the gospel. It's share the gospel in your locker room, in your workplace, in your home, with your kids, and overseas.
And I absolutely applaud his approach, his philosophy on that, because he is he's someone who does not care about the negative attention, negative publicity. Nobody's saying anything about
right.
it now. But we go back to earlier in training camp, in OTAs, when Carson is talking about his faith. He goes out and does a sermon in North Dakota, and there were people on talk shows in Philadelphia saying, hey, I don't need my quarterback tweeting Bible verses or telling me how to live my life. Just go win games and win me a Super Bowl. Well, they're not saying anything now, but that Carson was not going to change because of this criticism. He was not going to be moved any differently, and I applaud that. But there are people who are concerned about that. They're concerned that, well, maybe I lose an endorsement because I'm too Christian or I'm too out there with my faith, and that is the truth. There are a lot of people, whether they're athletes or celebrities or in a position of power, maybe not necessarily a celebrity, but maybe a CEO of a company or someone who's got a high paying job, high profile position that we don't know about, but they're a little concerned about putting their faith out there, whether it's on social media or anywhere else. And those are the ones that I'm trying to reach with. Well, how are you being useful for the kingdom by being quiet about your faith? It's great to go to church and live your life the right way and do that. And we talk a lot about, well, being an example by the way you live your life. That's awesome. But sometimes you need to step up and you need to have that courage to be bold and show other people who may not be paying attention to the way you live your life by telling them, by speaking it, by sharing it.
It certainly makes a difference if you have a high-profile position to be bold and share your faith because you reach more people that way. But let's talk about the people that aren't in that high-profile position,
right.
that are the supporters, that are the people behind the scenes, that you need to be bold in your faith, too. And they may fear not getting a promotion, not being able to put food on the table for their kids if they lose their job, right? So those people everybody needs to be bold. Listen, if you're a Christian, go forth and tell others about Christ. That's what it really comes down to.
Be fishers of men.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter how many you get, because mm-hmm. really when it comes down to it, you could have a behind-the-scenes testimony where you're impacting people's lives that nobody else sees. You get no credit for it. Nobody even knows you do it. But you plant a seed in the next huge leader that could affect hundreds, thousands of people. Correct. Right? And so if you're their mentor, they get all this credit, but who fed into their life before that? It was the bold people that stepped forward. It's the youth men pastors, right? It's the people in their church. It's their Sunday school teachers that planted those seeds when they were kids that, hey, I just volunteered at the church, but I made sure that I was there every Sunday and I tried taking care of those little kids. And everybody else forgets it. It's not a big deal in their life, and they have their other jobs that they're doing, but they're affecting people's lives who then will affect other people. It's that trickle down effect, right? And it's affecting other people. But let's go back, Rob, real quick. I want to mention this because you talked about Carson. That was a huge issue in training camp. Hey, I want my quarterback throwing touchdowns, not giving me Bible verses.
Well, it wasn't. It was a huge issue. Let's be real about it. It was a huge issue for talk show hosts who needed to get through a day and wanted to get phone calls.
Absolutely.
That's how it works in the business. You want the phone lines to light up, so you talk about a controversial topic, you make sure people call you, and it's garbage.
And it was preseason, and the season was even started. There was no news at that point. Yeah, we get that. Then the news started becoming, hey, how great is Carson playing? And look at his faith, and look at the faith of the other people on the team. Then all these injuries start happening.
Yes.
Right? And then the microscope is actually put on them and said, okay, you just tore your ACL.
Yeah.
Where's your faith now?
And then the
testimony becomes even bigger at that point. So the microscope's always going to be on you, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, in your successes, in your trials, in your failures, you're always going to be there. But can you be bold in your faith and in your testimony at all times? Not just when things are really good and the spotlight's on you.
That's right.
But how about when you're really depressed and when you're struggling and when you're frustrated? Right?
I think one of the greatest platforms that gets overlooked in those moments, and probably the greatest influencers in our world today, are not celebrities, they're not athletes, they're not musicians, they're parents. And I think sometimes even as parents, we are afraid to push religion on our kids, talk to them about Jesus.
That's unfortunate.
We'll take them maybe to church sometimes or let them go to a vacation Bible school or some sort of outreach. But the truth is that that's the most influential people you ever have are your parents, being able to speak life into your kids, creating that kind of home where Jesus is easily talked about and easily experienced, easily worshiped, where men and women set the example.
But how about not only speaking into your kid's life, but your kid's friend's life?
Yeah, no doubt.
And that's even bigger because sometimes you're kind of like, hey, I don't want to tell other people's kids what to do, but how are they seeing you at? Because, I mean, listen, we can take care of our kids, and we're going to bestow upon them our thought processes and our beliefs, right? And whether they follow it or not, that's their choice. But how about the other kids and other families to say, what's different about that family? What's different about those parents? And, hey, why are your parents like that?
You and I were just talking about this earlier, but just the thing that we always established in our house is this is what we do here. This is what we do. I'm not telling you what you have to do at your house.
Right.
Before we eat, we're going to pray. It's what we do here. Hey, you're going to take your shoes off when you come. That's what we do here. And I think if you establish Christian boundaries in your home, a Christian presence in your home, the presence of Christ in your home, where that's freely talked about when your friend, when the kids' friends aren't there, it'll be freely talked about when your kids' friends are there, because that's just who we are. It's when we try to put something on, Doug, that makes it fake for our kids.
Because really, it's going to come out of your kid's mouth, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Rob, your girls are young, right? And so whatever goes in, it's coming out at some point, right? And they're not differentiating between, am I with Christians right now? Am I not with Christians right now? And they just know, right? So they'll go in, they'll be like, hey, do you go to church? I remember my kids going to school. Hey, do you go to church? You want to come to youth group? You want to come to vacation Bible school? And they're like, well, what do you do there? Well, we learn about Jesus.
Right. Correct.
Like, who's Jesus? You don't know who Jesus is? Come to vacation Bible school. Learn about Jesus. Right?
By the way, kids are usually not scared to talk about Jesus.
No.
It's only after we start to worry about, are we accepted, not accepted? Are we cool, not cool? What would it be like, not like? That's where the transition goes. But you little kids, they invite all their friends.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, we talked about this before on our Santa Claus episode too, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you can tell everybody about Jesus, right? But don't tell them Santa doesn't exist, right? Like you said those rules up, right? You don't go to school and
careful.
Kids are listening. I know there's a lot of kids listening. And I'm sorry about that, but if you tell your kids, like, you may spend more time saying, "Hey, don't ever tell anybody that the reality of Santa," right?
Yes.
Like don't do that. But you say, "Hey, go tell people about Jesus."
When we come back, guys, we're going to hear from Zach Ertz, and we're going to hear about him talking about his courage to be bold in the locker room and the way his growth from when he came to the Eagles 4 or 5 years ago and his days in college at Stanford and how he's matured now and how he's matured in his faith. And I've heard him, not in this interview, but I've heard him talk about the game against the Bengals. Was it last year or maybe the year before that, where he was criticized for not throwing a block on a sideline and how that affected him and how now he would handle that differently than he would have a couple years ago and not let things like that bother him. So we'll hear from Zach Ertz when we come back. You're listening to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
If you shake hands with difference makers around the world, you'll meet alumni from Eastern University in every profession. Our courageous graduates are CEOs, mayors, social entrepreneurs, and Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year finalists. What makes the difference? Eastern alums have been shaped by a powerful combination of academic excellence, Christian values, and professors who truly care. Join our influential community online in Center City or on the main line. Visit eastern.edu/courage.
Hi, I'm Rob Motti. Every day you listen to the news, but how is that news affecting your financial world? Will an upswing in Asia affect your retirement investments? Will a drought halfway around the world dry up your income? You might not feel the immediate effects of every world event, but you do need to keep a close eye on your finances in these times of change. Rick Santella can help you do that.
Thanks, Rob. Hi, I'm Rick Santella, a financial advisor with Morgan Stanley. I'm right here in the Philadelphia region, and I have more than 35 years of experience and the resources to help you keep moving forward. Asset allocation, retirement planning, wealth management, these are all areas I can help you stay on top of.
To make an appointment with Rick, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meeting with Rick Santella could be the most important event of your day.
Asset allocation does not guarantee a profit or protect against a loss. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
And welcome back to Faith on a Field show presented by Eastern University. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. We are doing part one of our three-part Courage series. Our theme today is Courage to be Bold. And I recently spoke to Pro Bowl tight end Zach Ertz from the NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles. Here is Zach Ertz presented by Rick Santella of Morgan Stanley. Call 215-854-6018 to make an appointment with Rick to take care of all your financial needs.
Zach, tell me about the brotherhood on this team. Obviously, you guys have a close-knit group, and you're doing Bible studies together and couples Bible studies. Just talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think it truly is a brotherhood, those guys. I mean, every night that we're together, it's a fellowship. Even when we're not in those quote-unquote Bible study times, it is a fellowship. Those guys are holding me accountable off the field. I'm holding them accountable as well. So we truly care about each other. We truly care about the growth that each individual has in the world. As believers as well, and not only as believers, but as friends and family as well. Trey, Ghost, Carson, Hicks, there's a lot of guys that are really trying to boost me up along the way, kind of keep me focused on the main thing, which is obviously the Word and Jesus.
Obviously, you guys have had a lot of injuries, a lot of adversity to overcome. A lot of those brothers, Jordan goes down, Carson goes down, Chris goes down. How much does your faith help you overcome that?
For sure. I think it just maintains that foundation. You know, you build the I think everyone's kind of building that foundation so you're never kind of pushed too far where you're able to be destroyed. I mean, I think all those guys have found joy throughout this process, whereas if they weren't able to find that joy, they'd probably be in a really depressed state. And I just think it goes back to that fellowship too, where we're able to not only help keep them positive but also build them up so they're not trying to do this by themselves either.
We're going to do a series on the courage that it takes to be a Christian athlete. Tell me what that means to you, the courage it takes to be a Christian athlete, to be able to use the strength that you get from your faith.
Yeah, I mean, I think being a Christian athlete, I wouldn't trade it for the world, obviously, and save my life. I think being on a team like this, there's a lot of believers and guys that have been able to help me along the way. 2 years ago, I was a completely different person. I would go up and down with how my football performance was, whereas now I'm kind of just even-keeled, and I don't think it's a coincidence that my mindset of being this way and my faith has led to probably my best year that I've had in the NFL. So I think just having that courage, having those guys encourage me, and just being able to go out there and kind of preach the word any time we get. I think it's an honor to be able to do that at this in this platform.
What would you say to younger kids, especially college students, who might be drawn by so many different things, pulling them away from sometimes it's not really cool to be a Christian? What do you say to them about having the courage to trust God?
Yeah, I think, it takes a lot of courage to do that. There's in college, you know, everyone's saying it's not cool to do this, it's not cool to do that. But whenever, anytime I think about that, I just think about my priority. My priority is to glorify God each and every day, each and every situation. That's the one thing I've been called to do. And if you're able to do that, you're not going to have any regrets down the road that you didn't have go away or stray from that. I think it's courageous if people are, when they're able to go through that college environment and kind of stay strong and maintain that foundation of God and Christ. And it's a powerful thing, and my hat's off to them. I wish I knew Jesus in my walk a lot earlier. So if there's any, I encourage everyone to kind of learn, go into the Word and kind of learn about Jesus and how amazing He is. He changed my life, and I'm encouraging you guys to do the same.
That's awesome. Thanks, Zach.
And that was Eagles Pro Bowl tight end Zach Ertz, and that interview was presented by Rick Santella of Morgan Stanley. Call 215-854-6018 to make an appointment with Rick to take care of all your financial needs. I love what Zach said we're talking about courage to be bold today, and he says even if people are telling you it's not cool, especially in that college environment or in the high school environment, he said, I think about my priority, and it's to glorify God. And that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, Zach was just talking about how different he was 2 years ago, and he absolutely night and day is different. And it is completely a courage that is birthed from within him in his walk with God. Like he, it's foundational in him. So he's not putting something on. He's not trying to be courageous. It's, you know, 2 Corinthians 3:12 says, because we have this hope, we're very bold. And I think when you look at Zach, that's actually who he is. He has this hope. He came to this conclusion that Jesus is who he says he is. Mm-hmm. Therefore, everything else is settled. And when you settle everything else, it enables you actually to be bold.
Well, it really changed. When you say it changed his life, I think he gives a very specific example of how he played really messed with him. Right? You have a good game, you feel really good because you're worried about yourself. You have a bad game, you feel bad about yourself. Now, the term he used was he's more even-keeled, that a good game's not going to make him feel super great and a bad game's not going to break him down.
Right.
Right?
Correct.
And so I think when you find that value in just what we were talking about before, that your identity is not found in your success.
Correct.
That your identity is found somewhere else. He says, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
He says, my faith has led to the best year of his career. And this was the best season of his NFL career. He is going to, well, he is a Pro Bowl player. He's not going to the Pro Bowl.
Right,
he's
right,
got
exactly.
a bigger bowl to play
Come
in.
On.
And how great was that when the Pro Bowl announcements were made and Malcolm Jenkins says, we're not playing.
Yes.
We're not playing.
Yep.
We're going to the Super Bowl. So it's Zach's faith. And, you know, I remember Zach, Pastor Kyle, I don't know, and you have a great relationship with him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure when you started to get to know him and his wife, Julie, and how great was that video?
Oh my gosh!
Cool. That was
Julian
cool.
tears.
I watched
Zach
that and I was crying, and then I watched Zach watch it, and I was crying. It was so powerful.
That was awesome. But I remember early in Zach's rookie year when Jason Avant was still on the Eagles, and Jason was someone who would walk through the locker room just singing gospel music at the top of his lungs, and he was unashamed Christian completely. You talk about courage to be bold. Jason had the courage to be bold wherever he was, no matter what he did, and wasn't. A Hall of Fame type player, but a really good third down type receiver, possession receiver. But I remember him having, I would see him talking to Zach a little bit. And I never went back and asked Zach how much maybe I will next time I see him, how much Jason influenced him. But obviously, it's been over the past couple years since Carson has come in there. And let's be honest about it. I'm sure you had a lot of influence in that as well.
I appreciate that. I just think, no doubt, Robert, you know, Jason really laid a solid foundation. I mean, a lot of the guys still talk about how powerful he was.
Is that right?
Yeah, just the joy that he brought. Always had the kind of joy, the way that he looked at life, the way he looked at football. He was extremely hard worker, and yet You know, I mean, he loved Jesus.
Isn't that what we just talked about, though?
No,
like,
it is.
You have a guy that maybe not been the best receiver,
right.
Third down receiver. Everybody liked him, and he planted seeds in young guys.
Absolutely.
Like Zach Ertz. Now, Zach Ertz
Absolutely.
Is a Pro Bowler,
yeah.
Right? And
Absolutely.
Now he
yeah.
has a platform.
Yep.
So a guy that maybe not had a big enough platform or the platform that a Pro Bowler would have.
That's a great point.
Invested yeah. in the young guys, and
Absolutely.
Now all of a sudden they're superstars sharing their faith,
yeah.
and it all is one package. We're all one team, right?
Absolutely.
We're all part of Team Jesus, right?
Do you know what I think I've seen, and Rob, you probably have too, being inside the locker room as much. The switch, at least, that I've seen in a lot of the guys has been guys who have had an idea of Christianity being works. Do right, do wrong, act right, act wrong.
Yeah.
That never actually birthed anything. But the seeds of guys like Jason, Trey, Carson coming in,
Nick
started this Bible study years
ago.
So I mean, like when you start talking about this, there were real, real powerful seeds that were planted there, and I've seen it start to work on some of those guys and saying, man, religion's not working. Man, I'm trying to be good. It's just not. I'm still living under the oppression of it all. And then when they finally realize it's actually Jesus, the switch is so. And that's kind of what Zach was talking about.
Yeah.
This switch that happened inside of him is so dramatic and different. So it's, you know, just want our listeners to know, these guys aren't trying to be better people, and trying to get people to be better people. They've fallen in love with Jesus. And because they've fallen in love with Jesus, their identity starts to be shaped by that. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 4 that perfect love casts out all fear. When I recognize that I am fully loved in my mountaintop experiences, in my valley experiences, in my mess, right, in all that I am, God loves me. There's something powerful, and it doesn't give the enemy anywhere to work. You know, Jesus gets baptized, and when he's coming up out of the water, God says, "This is my beloved son. This is the son I love, whom I'm well pleased." Jesus didn't cast out a demon yet. He didn't multiply bread yet. He didn't walk on water yet. He didn't heal anybody yet. He was loved already. And then the Bible says he went out, the Spirit led him out into the wilderness where he was tempted. And the temptation the enemy brings him is this: if you're the Son of God, do this. And he said, I'm not the Son of God, I'm the loved Son of God. See, the That's one great. Word that the devil always wants you to leave out is that you are loved the way that you are. And that's when you get it, when you understand the love of God, not the law of God, the love of God, then you'll want to follow the law of God. But when you are trying to follow the law of God, you will never find the love of God.
You kind of hit home for me when you talked about how the players now, and you're sensing that they're realizing it's not about being saved by works. It's
right.
about being saved by grace. And this is what my that's evolution.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
my evolution
yeah.
as a Christian, from being raised to know, to think, to feel in the Catholic Church for 30 plus years that I was saved by works. And once I came to that realization that we are saved by grace, and oh, what a difference it is. I felt that same wow.
Yes.
That instant relief that I don't have to accomplish anything else, that I'm already saved because I believe. And now because of that, the works that I'm doing are to glorify
right,
God,
correct.
Not so I can earn a place in heaven. It's because I want to share the good news. It's because I want people to hear that message. I want to bring them into the kingdom. I want them to realize, to recognize, to understand it can be the same way for them, that they don't have to have that empty feeling of what religion gives them.
Yes.
Because you are already saved by the blood of
well,
Jesus.
Let's use that as the clarification for what Zach's talking about. That it's not I'm a Pro Bowler now because I found Jesus.
Right.
I'm at peace and I'm playing
yes.
better because I
yes.
don't have a burden on me that how I play is going to either make or break me.
Right. Is
and
that
so
what you're saying? Yeah, exactly right.
It's releasing the burden that I somehow am in control of my life. Right. And whether I do good or I do bad, then that's going to have an immediate impact.
Yes.
But if I say I'm loved by Jesus and that's all that really matters, I'm able to play freer.
Yes, correct. You know? That's why when my college football coach said, when you are emotionally or mentally weak, you turn to one of three things, drugs, alcohol, or Jesus. He thought when you are a Christian, you would play soft. He didn't understand that when I was actually at peace in my heart, it didn't matter then. If I threw an interception, that's okay because I got another pass coming. My emotional state wasn't going to be determined by the boos or the cheers. And that's why when Carson says he plays in an audience of one, That's what you see out on the field. Everybody thinks that it's a, you know, well, he's just a calm demeanor. No, he is. He's just a mature man. No, he is. But what they don't understand, what they are actually seeing, is this confidence that comes from playing in an audience of one where I'm accepted, and because I'm accepted for who I am, I'm not going to try to win the approval of man. It's interesting, Rob. How did Starbucks become so popular? Let's be honest. Coffee has been around for a billion years, right? And
so all of a sudden they started selling it for $9.
But this is how it became popular, because people started to say, this is really good. I really like this. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, you got to have a latte. You got to have a cappuccino. You have to have an espresso. Doug, you got to have a chai latte. Hallelujah. Yes, exactly. They got excited about something that was old that they tried differently. And when they actually got passionate about the thing that was old but tried differently, they began to tell their friends about it. No one I've ever met has ever been offended because someone said, can I take you to Starbucks and buy you a coffee? And yet we're still struggling to be able to talk about the one thing that is absolutely that we are the most passionate about. You know, we have, how funny is that?
Right?
No, do you see? And when you look at it and say, no, it is, religion can be old, and there, and religion can play a part in our past, and it can be, I've tasted it before. Mm-hmm. It was bitter. It was sour. It was rough. Yeah. Awesome. But there's something, this is new. Taste this anew. There was something added to it. And there's grace added to it. And when you got that, it's no longer a coffee, now it's a latte.
I never thought I'd hear Pastor Kyle comparing the grace of Jesus to a couple drops of pumpkin in a pumpkin spice in a macchiato.
Come on, somebody.
But see, we started the show talking about being the salt. You could be the salt by being sweet too.
You could be the flavor shot, right?
Look, yeah. You know God loves coffee because he wrote a whole book about it, Hebrews. Oh, that's a pastor joke. I'm really sorry. That's bad. All right.
Oh man. When we come back, guys, we're gonna have another guest on the show. And we're going to talk to Jason Romano, former guest. We had him on first 10 episodes, I believe, Doug, when we had former Flyers and Rangers goalie Bob Froese. But Jason has a new book out, and we're going to talk to Jason a little bit about his courage to be bold and about his new book as well. You are listening to Faith on the Field show, presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Rob Motti. Make a difference, be a blessing is the sign-off I use every time I finish a radio show. But it's not just a cute saying or a catchphrase. These are words I try to live by. It's who I am. It's the legacy I want to leave behind. That's why Remy and I have started Remy and Rob Be a Blessing Foundation. Our passion is helping underprivileged youth and trafficking victims. Human trafficking is the second largest criminal industry in the world after drug dealing, and stats say it's the fastest growing. It's not just happening in faraway places in third world countries. Arrests have been made right here in the Delaware Valley in recent months. The victims of these evil crimes need help restarting their lives and dealing with the trauma. There's also a shortage of shelters for survivors. If you'd like to help, check out BeABlessingFoundation.com and please consider making a tax-deductible donation. Thank you.
Dan Higgins Wood Flooring is the number one retailer of wood flooring in South Jersey. They have the best and most popular brands, including Bruce, Armstrong, Mirage, Johnson, Mercier, and more. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring has better pricing and service for flooring than the big box stores. Plus, you would be supporting a local business in the community since 1985. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring provides support for your do-it-yourself project, including expert advice and free equipment rental. Contractors can bring their customers to Dan Higgins Wood Flooring showrooms in Medford and Sicklerville. Special discounts are available for contractors and builders. They offer free local job site delivery, and installation services are also available. Check out their website at danhiggins.com or call Dan Higgins Wood Flooring at 609-953-7766.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton, Pastor Kyle Horner. We are in week 40 episodes, and if you've missed any of our previous episodes, you can catch up on iTunes, subscribe to Faith on the Field show, download and listen. Tell them, Doug, where else they can find Faith on the Field on social media.
go on Facebook. So all our Facebook lives are on our Facebook page. We have Instagram, and we also have Twitter, so you can check all that out there. And obviously the shows, which Scott Foreman, who handles our web for us, just allowed download capabilities on our website. So you could also go to faithinthefieldshow.com. Thanks to Ryan Lennox for the advice there. But faithinthefieldshow.com, go to our podcast. You can play them, or you can download them and listen to them while you're in the car.
Also, we're now on YouTube.
And we are on YouTube.
Now
check
you can
it
check out Faith on the Field show on YouTube as well. And
subscribe. Subscribe to our channel.
Absolutely. Subscribe to
There's
our
a lot
channel.
Of things you can do to help us out. Please
we've,
do.
We've had an incredible lineup of guests, and we could run down that list. But we've had, even more importantly than the messenger, is the message. And we've had some awesome messages that can help people going through any kind of rough patch in their life, or you need encouragement, need inspiration. If you've had a storm in your life, if you've had adversity, you could check out episode 31 with Chris Maragos. We talked about rebounding from rejection in episode 38 with Dan Orlovsky. So many topics that can help us in our journey, and so much excellent insight from athletes out there. But right now, we're going to bring on a guest, someone who worked in the media for many, many years as a producer for Mike and Mike, no longer Mike and Mike Show at ESPN. Jason Romano left. Jason left ESPN and is now hosting a podcast, Sports Spectrum Podcast, where he talks about the intersection of sports and faith. And Jason also has a new book out that he's going to tell us about. Hey, Jason.
What's up, Rob? How are you?
Welcome to Faith on the Field show, man. We're talking today, Jason, about the courage to be bold as we start this three-part series about courage. And it's courage to be bold. And you are someone who, having worked in the media, having seen what it can be like, sometimes we're told, hey, take it easy, calm down a little bit on what you're doing and what you're putting out there. Some of us have, some of us haven't experienced that. It took a lot of courage for you to do what you're doing. Tell us a little bit about your courage to be bold.
Yeah, I think, courage is scary. Being bold can be very scary, especially when you look at it from an earthly perspective. And, you know, for me, I speak now about sort of sharing your faith in the workplace and what that looks like. But if up to as recently as 4 or 5 years ago, I that was hard for me too. Honestly, it's still hard for, I think, all of us to completely be as bold as we think we should be and courageous as we think we should be. But, it took a couple years ago and a moment where it was time to say yes to the Lord and stop worrying about what other people think. And taking a leap of, for lack of a better word, a leap of faith in leaving ESPN and pursuing ministry, I guess you could call it, or, a higher calling, doing more for the Lord, as I called it. And that's what it looked like. I think it's scary. It's taking and literally putting your full trust in the Lord, because finances, were less. You're taking a pay cut. You're taking, you're not working in the comfort of a large organization like ESPN. And, I guess that's courage. And some people have told me that's craziness, to be quite honest with you. But that's what it is. Taking a leap of faith.
When you look back at that time period and what it took for you to make that decision, obviously you have no regrets, and some people call you crazy, but we call you courageous, we call you bold. What kind of advice do you have for people who may be considering not necessarily quitting their job and going into the field of ministry, but we're trying to encourage people just to take that next step and actually tell people, don't be a quiet Christian who just goes to church on Sunday or Saturday evening or wherever it is in worship alone. Maybe share the good news with whether it's a friend, a neighbor, a relative, or on social media, being a huge platform that it is.
Yeah, I think my advice would be to just do it. Sorry, Nike, but you had to take their motto for a second. But I think just do it. I think, it is scary. Even people who I know in their 40s, 50s, and 60s struggle with what other people might think or rejection. But the secret sauce in all of this is relationships. So build relationships with people, talk to them, and through that, you're going to be able to tell people about your faith. And it's going to be evident, hopefully, in the fruit that you're bearing in your life, that people are going to want to know what's going on with you. It's a natural sort of conversation to ask people what their interests are outside of whatever circle you're talking to them in, especially if it's in the workplace. So naturally, things are going to come up that are of interest to you. You're a sports fan, you're a dad, you're a husband, and you love the Lord, and you go to church. So I think just be as open as possible. You never want to force your faith on anyone, ever, but you certainly don't want to be unashamed or shy about what you believe and how you're living. So I think that's my piece of advice, is just build relationships, and through that, opportunities are going to come where you can talk to people about the Lord.
We're talking to Jason Romano, former producer for Mike and Mike at ESPN Radio and now host of Sports Spectrum Podcast. And Jason has just released a new book called Live to Forgive, Moving Forward When Those We Love Hurt Us. It is available, Jason, on Amazon, correct?
Yes, it is. Yep, Amazon.com.
Tell us a little bit about that book and what inspired you to write it.
Yeah, the book is something I know you've written a couple books, Rob, which I've read, the football and baseball faith books and a few others, but I've never envisioned myself being a writer or an author. That's not something that I ever planned on. It's not something 10 years ago that I said, in 10 years I'm going to write about my life and air all the dirty laundry that exists between the relationship with myself and my dad. But God works in crazy ways, and an opportunity came after I had shared a story from the pulpit, actually, at my church about forgiveness and about my dad and myself and me having to forgive him after 40 years of just so much anger and bitterness I had towards him and some of the choices that he made and his struggle with alcoholism and, the way it wrecked our family. And from that, I just saw people kind of responding to that. And I think in life, Rob, and the rest of the crew, when you share, your story, especially if you know that it can help other people, you're called to share it. And when we don't share it, we're being selfish, especially if we know we can help someone else in the process. And that's why we wrote the book. I talked to my dad, who is, recovering and has been sober now for a few years, and our relationship is good. It's not great. But I said to him, what do you think of the idea of me writing a story, our book, not a story, but our story about forgiveness and, putting it out there as raw and as real as we can be? And my dad isn't a believer in Christ, but he understands how much forgiveness helped in our relationship. And he said, listen, if it can help one person, you need to write it. And so that process began in the fall of 2016, and just last week, January 15th, we released Live to Forgive, and that's what the book's about. There's a lot of sports in it, especially considering my dad and my relationship is centered around sports, but it's told through the lens of my recollections and how finally I was able to choose to forgive him about 3-4 years ago.
And we're talking about courage to be bold. It takes courage to do that, to forgive. That is Jason Romano, author of Live to Forgive, Moving Forward When Those We Love Hurt Us. It is available on Amazon.com. Jason, we are up against the end of the show, but before you go, I know you're going to be down in Minneapolis. I will be too, covering the Super Bowl. Do you have a prediction for us on the game?
A prediction? Oh, gosh, you're putting me on the spot. I put this on Twitter the other day about the Cowboys. As a Cowboys fan, who am I rooting for here? And it's hard for me to pick the Eagles, but my heart deep down thinks that the Eagles are pulling a 1990 New York Giants here, and destiny has something going on for them. So I'm going to take the Eagles. We'll say 27-24 over New England.
There you have it. Jason Romano, Cowboys fan, says the Eagles will win the Super Bowl. Jason, appreciate your time, man, and I will see you down there in Minnesota next week. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.
That is Jason Romano. Live to Forgive, Moving Forward When Those We Love Hurt Us, available on Amazon.com. And Jason talks about the courage to be bold. And in this book, he talks about what it takes to forgive and finding that the only road to freedom is and peace is forgiveness. Guys, we are up against it, out of time. once again, episode 40. I want to thank Zach Ertz for coming on and having the courage to be bold in his faith so we could put this together and do this. Our next part two of our series is going to be with Torrey Smith, Eagles wide receiver. We're going to talk about the courage it takes to stand up. I want to thank all of our sponsors, Eastern University, Rick Santella from Morgan Stanley. Thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for handling all of our social media. Bree Grignano for all her help. Our interns, Dakota Boring and Sal Tortora. Thank you to our wives, Remy, Chris, and Danielle. Thank you to Dan Higgins Wood Flooring. Our producer, Ryan Lennox, for doing a fantastic job behind the glass. As always, thanks for the flex over there, Ryan. For Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.